turning to Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, 6 to 11. And we're asking this question, think about it. Can you see Christ in an ant? Think about that question. Listen carefully, this is God's word. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Precious word of the living and the true God. Can you see Christ in an ant? Some of you will immediately say, no. Some of you might think, well, maybe. Because God's word is telling me to go to the ant and to learn wisdom. So I guess it depends on how you receive the lesson of the ant, doesn't it? It depends on how the Holy Spirit teaches us from the natural world created by God and the way that the ant behaves. The natural world has been referred to in the book of Proverbs before. In fact, we just saw in the previous verse, in verse 5, a reference to a roe or a gazelle and a bird. And we're to be like those animals to deliver ourselves when we are putting up security. Now, ants. Isn't this a reversal of the created order? Man is to be the pinnacle of creation, and yet now we're learning from the ants. What a wondrous thing has happened in a fallen world that God has so designed it that we are able to learn something about the wisdom of God, our Creator, even from the ants. Now, Jesus displayed this wisdom as he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, as he told us to learn lessons from flowers and from birds. The book of Job speaks of this wisdom in chapter 12, when it says, verse 7, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? You see, what we're supposed to see when we look at the ant is what we're supposed to see when we look at the beasts and the fishes, that the Lord has made this, that in his hand is the soul of every living thing. Men and women and boys and girls are supposed to learn from the ants. It's kind of fun for young boys. They have a lot of energy. They see a bunch of ants crawling around to go and try to crush as many as possible. But the Word of God is actually telling us to wait. Wait, before you crush those ants, study them. Learn from them. Pay attention, because there is something that you are supposed to learn from the ant. What can we learn from one of the smallest creatures, the ant? Small creature, but by the way, an ant can lift over 20 times its weight. My son goes to the gym. He lifts a lot. He cannot lift 20 times his weight. The ant can. The ant can. The ant is strong, even though small. And so we're learning something from the ant. We're learning that the ant is internally driven, and we learn that the ant has foresight. Those are some of the things that we're learning from the ant. What kind of ant is this? Well, it's probably the harvester ant, an ant which was found throughout Palestine, and an ant that stores grain within its nest and is therefore used as an illustration of being industrious, being hardworking. That's what the ant is teaching us. And so this going to the ant is not saying, you know, crawl on the ground, try to get as low as the ant is, and although that might be helpful, the idea is to watch them work, to see the ants work. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. It's not just looking at the ant and marveling at how they work. It's to see wisdom, you see. It's to see the wisdom of how God has orchestrated the activity of this ant. Because there's something inside the ant, created by God, that allows the ant to see, if I don't work hard, I will be a dead ant. And that is wisdom on the level of an ant, to work. The sluggard is the opposite. The sluggard is a human being. The sluggard that doesn't learn the lesson from the ant is not considering her ways, is not being wise, lacks motivation to work. That's the problem with the sluggard. And people don't like to admit to being a sluggard. They'll admit to many other things, but they won't admit to being lazy. Oh, I admit I worry. That's a very common sin. I admit I'm greedy sometimes, but lazy? No, I'll do anything possible to avoid admitting that. And this is not something that the Son is already engaged in. We've seen the Son addressed at the beginning of chapter 6. No, the Son is being told about something that could happen. In fact, the word Son even drops off. Just simply sluggard. The language is to go to the ant. It's like a wake-up call when your mom comes down the hall, you know, get up, it's time for school. You slept way too long, get going. Study the ant. Pay attention. This ant is hardworking, internally driven. This ant sees that if I don't work hard, I'm going to be a dead ant. And they all work together. Pay attention, because there's a way of wisdom here that God has built into the fabric of creation, so that when you're walking down the street, you can learn wisdom. You can learn a lesson of wisdom. And it can help you in your work week. It can help you when you grow up and you have a job. It can help you at those times when you lack motivation to work. Because for the ant, it's work or die. And we've probably lost the sense that this is true in our society. We're a society that's based upon storing up things, and we have resources available to us. But the ant doesn't know. The ant instinctively works in order to provide for themselves in the future. That's the amazing thing. The ant works hard today because the ant, through instinct that's created by God, has foresight. The harvester ant is storing up for the harvest in addition to eating today's meal. And that's what we need to learn. Laziness looks different for us today. Laziness doesn't always look like laying in bed so long that you forget to eat something that's in the refrigerator. You might even have someone in your family that brings you something. Well, laziness can look more like spending time with trivial pursuits that distract you from your purpose in life, that distract you from the overall goal, the overarching goal of your life. And this is where we need help. In our society today, this is where we need help as we consider this ant. If we start something and we don't finish it, we lack commitment. Proverbs 12, verse 24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, the slothful shall be under tribute. Or verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Paying attention to what work we've been given is important. It's important for us as we learn the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. This theme is actually throughout the book of Proverbs. It appears again and again, this theme of diligence as opposed to laziness. Proverbs 19:24 says, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." Too lazy even to properly eat. That's the extent to which laziness can overcome us. I know a story of a man who got so fixated on video games that he would play. He was married, play, and didn't always eat or sleep properly because video games became the obsession. You see, that's the kind of thing that we're to learn from the ant. We're to learn from the ant that there is a purpose. We're to see through foresight. And that foresight must ultimately come from Jesus Christ. That wisdom is designed to lead us to Jesus Christ. The ant is working while the sluggard actually sits back. And this is a problem with the sluggard. They consider themselves to be wise. They're already wise, so they don't need to learn anything from the ant. The slothful man saith, "There is a lion without, and shall be slain in the streets." I'm wise enough to know that there's trouble out there, and I'm staying away from it, the sluggard says. The lazy man. The first thing that we are told in verse 7 concerning the ant is that the ant is self-disciplined. The ant is internally motivated. It says in verse 7 that this ant hath, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. No guide, no overseer, no ruler. What would your workplace look like if there was no boss? No boss who came walking down the hall every once in a while. No boss who checked in. Some people would spend a whole lot of time doing other things other than their job. But we're to learn from the ant. The ant has no overseer, no ruler looking over this ant. The ant is motivated by the need to work or die. This ant is industrious. She works hard. What is more, she works hard with no one standing over her, no one watching, no one monitoring her. And so the goal of this work is providing her meat in the summer and gathering her food in the harvest. In other words, to be able to eat today and to be able to provide for the future. That's what this ant, instinctively created by God with a wisdom to understand this, does. You might see a butterfly sitting, looking pretty. You might see dogs laying in the sun and enjoying the sun upon their bodies, their hair, looking around, scratching themselves. But the ant, if you ever watch an ant, they're constantly moving. They're constantly working. They are providing for the harvest. They are providing for that which is just around the corner. If I don't work today, I die tomorrow. This ant is providing food for herself. That's foresight. That's the kind of language that's used in the Proverbs again and again in different places to refer to the ant. Even in Proverbs 30 and verse 25, near the end of the Proverbs, we read, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." No one looking over the ant. People aren't like that, are they? At least not in every case. We need someone telling us what to do. We need someone watching over us at times. But there's something that we are to learn about Jesus Christ from these ants. We are to learn something from this self-discipline, something from this foresight, something from this knowledge of the importance of the harvest. We're to learn something about Jesus Christ. The ant is a created being, a creature down the chain from us. And yet there are wisdom lessons that God has built into the very fabric of creation. And the ant teaches us this wisdom. It's designed to point us to Jesus Christ. Well, the most important characteristic that we know about the sluggard, about the lazy person, is that they sleep. And the question is asked in verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? This is what is the best thing about the day for the person who lacks motivation. I can escape. My pillow is my friend. I love my pillow. Now, there's nothing wrong with sleep, is there? Jesus Christ in the boat is sleeping in the midst of a storm. He needed sleep. He had been formed as God and man in one person, needing sleep. And yet there were times when the Lord Jesus Christ stayed up all night to pray, stayed up on the mountain, and he came down the mountain and he chose his disciples. Jesus Christ knew when to sleep and when to work. The sluggard lets sleep overcome their schedule. It becomes the biggest thing. It's escapism. It's refusing to face the world. This is what the sluggard says. He had a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Just a little bit more. Can you hit the snooze button for me? Please. I just need 5 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Okay, 2 more. Just so tired today. And the ant is working, 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 working. Every bit of little sleep, every bit of little slumber, every time one folds their hands in a position that doesn't allow you to do any work, the ant is busily working and working and working for the harvest. Are you beginning to see Jesus yet? The Lord Jesus Christ came with a work ethic. The work ethic came from his very character as God the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ came to prepare for the harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he said, in a passage that we just looked at in John chapter 5, that he was here to work. Jesus in John 5:17 says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Present tense. Do you know that the reason that the Christian church is growing today, the reason that the Christian church is continuing to grow in the midst of all of the changes that have taken place around the world this year is because Christ works. It's because Jesus Christ is at work. Because Jesus Christ is being formed in believers. As we use the means of grace that we've been given, as we use the resources that we've been given, but as the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the Holy Spirit, works in us. Maybe you had a sense of that when we sang from Psalm 90. Maybe you had a sense of that as the Holy Spirit filled you and as you began to sing, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Or growing in Jesus Christ. Is it your work? So wise as to be able to imitate the ant. So wise as to look for God in all situations. Or is it that God works so that you're able to work in the first place. Philippians 2 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." It's because God works in us that we're able to work. That ant would not work that hard were he not created by God. Were she not created by God to be industrious throughout her life, to be one who continues to work with the foresight to provide for the harvest time, not overcome by the temptations of a little more sleep. Perhaps our perspective on the harvest is affected most greatly by this. Those little procrastination excuses we give to ourselves. Last week was a hard week. Next week's going to be a really hard week. I just need some rest. Now again, sleep. Jesus Christ slept. It's part of being regenerated in our minds, our bodies. It's part of how we're formed. But we're talking about being sluggard. We're talking about laziness. We're talking about procrastination and little excuses that we give to ourselves. And if our perspective is not on the harvest, harvest might come before we know. That's what verse 11 says. Remember what verse 10 said, that the sluggard is speaking. Sluggard is talking out this proverbial perspective on being a lazy person. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. In the ancient Near East, it was work or die in many respects. Sure, the people of God took care of their own. Sure, the people of God took care of the stranger. But there was work to do. There was work to do, and it had to be done in order that the harvest might occur. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to work in a way that changes our perspective on all of these things. It's not just simply about providing for our daily food, is it? The Lord Jesus Christ came working because there's a principle of sowing and reaping that's given to us in Galatians 6 and verse 7. But Jesus Christ also said this concerning the coming harvest. Matthew 25, he tells this parable. And there's a man with one talent who hides it. And the man says, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered him and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Is it possible? Is it possible that there's something that you have been given? Something that you have been given that is designed to be used as one who's in union with Jesus Christ, as one who learns from the ant, as one who learns from the wise ways of this female, small creature who shows you self-motivation, who shows you discipline, who shows you foresight, who shows you that the harvest is coming. And all of this shows you something that Jesus Christ has prepared for. But is it possible that there's something that you failed to use, something that you have failed to exercise, that is being lost in this procrastination in the use of the talent that you've been given? It's important that we remember that it's only because the Lord Jesus Christ works that we work. It's only because God is working in us that we're able to work at all. But the Word of God also tells us this. Tells us this concerning our opportunities in this world. Tells us this particularly concerning our employment. The sphere that God has given to you. The place where He has given to you to serve. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It's especially at those times when no one's looking, when no one is paying attention on the job or in the place where you're serving with the gifts that God has given you, especially at those times when this desire to procrastinate, this desire to put it off, this desire to escape is wrestling with the steady working of that ant, the steady working of Jesus Christ, the working that is designed to prepare you for the harvest. This week you have an opportunity when no one's looking to go to the ant and to see Christ working in you so that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, what this world needs right now more than anything else is men and women and boys and girls who have an allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. When no one's looking, learning from the ant, because there's a harvest coming. And we have the great privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ enthusiastically in the place where He has placed us. I have never heard an ant say to me, "I wish I were not an ant. So small. Yes, I can lift 20 times my weight, but I'm so small. And I have so much work to do. I just wish that I was as big as a parakeet or something." But those excuses come into our minds, don't they? In that position, like that person, like that servant. My boss is too harsh. My life is too rough. I just need a little bit more escape. And so I'm going to take it on the job. But you see, there's a harvest coming. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to work. And to work in you, to prepare you. There's a day when men and women and boys and girls will be separated. Some are called the sheep, and some are called the goats. And those who listen to the ant, and those who benefit from the constant work of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, will be moved away from procrastination and laziness, and in the direction of true service of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are placed. And it is a beautiful thing, because then the unbeliever who will not look for Christ in the ant will see Christ in you. And that too is what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in preparation for the harvest. There might be someone whose soul is one for eternity because you said no to procrastination when no one was looking, because you serve Christ, because Christ is working in you.